Well, good morning, everybody. Today is the Feast of the Epiphany, and in the olden days, people used to go to church this day, of course, as we still do, but they were very excited because it was then at Mass, right after the Gospel and before the homily, that the deacon or the priest would chant the Epiphany Proclamation, which is when all of the dates of the different feast days that change from year to year are announced in this chant. So like Easter Day, for example. So I'm not one to skip a tradition. So let's do this beautiful proclamation. Know, dear brethren, that as we have rejoiced in the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, so by leave of God's mercy, we announce to you also the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the sixth day of March will fall Ash Wednesday, and the beginning of the fast of the sacred Lenten season. On the 21st day of April, you will celebrate with joy Easter Day, the Paschal Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 30th day of May will be the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 9th day of June, the Feast of Pentecost. On the 23rd day of June, the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. On the first day of December, the first Sunday of the Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So as you hear, Easter will be just a touch later this year than last year. It'll be the 21st day of April this year. And so we look forward, of course, to that, even as we continue to celebrate now the Nativity of Jesus. Today we celebrate those three men. I say that, but scripture scholars and historians think that there probably were a few more than just the three of them. But we know the names of three: Caspar, Melchior, Balthasar. We call them the three wise men, or the magi, or the three kings, whatever you want to call them. That's who we remember today. And Isaiah the prophet, in our first reading, this was something that was forecasted long before it happened. You see that Isaiah says in our first reading that the riches of the sea will be emptied before him. The wealth of the nation shall be brought to him. Caravans of camels shall fill him. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. So Isaiah points to this thing that was going to happen after the Savior was born, that these caravans would be coming bearing gifts to Jesus. And so today we remember them. I just was wondering if we might think about the three gifts that these three wise men brought. But before I do, I have to tell you a little joke. You know, they came from afar. They came from long, long way away. I used to think as a kid that it was 100 miles away. It was 1,500 miles. I did a Google map. 1,500 miles. But the joke is that there was this Catholic church in Louisiana, and they had an outdoor nativity set. And this pious woman from Boston happened to be visiting down south. And she's walking down the sidewalk and she sees this church with this beautiful nativity set. But she's really offended because the three wise men have firemen's hats on. And she goes, "What is this? How blasphemous." So she storms into the parish office and she says to the secretary, "What in the world is this all about? Why do the three magi have firemen's hats?" And the secretary looks at her kind of like she's crazy, and she says, "Well, it's all in the Bible." And the pious lady from Boston says, "No, it's not. Where is it?" She says, "You Yankees don't know how to read your Bible." She opens up the Bible and she says, oh, here it is. The wise men came from afar. Get it? Far, fire. I don't know. Okay. But they came from quite a ways, which in and of itself, by the way, was quite something. The fact that these three, or however many there were willing to go on a camel across the desert for 1,500 bloody miles for this Jesus. It tells us something about the majesty of Jesus, but also the faith of these guys and probably gals. You've probably heard the other joke about the wise men, that had it been the three wise women, they would have brought useful gifts like diapers. But I want to think about the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Melchior is the one that brought the gold. And he's easy to find because he's the one that wears gold, naturally enough. And the gold is a symbol of our material stuff. It's a symbol of our material possessions. And so in giving Jesus and laying the gold before Jesus, that which was most valuable is an invitation for us to leave our material items with the Lord also. And so I think we should all give a gift to the Lord in each three categories. So we need to give a gift of material stuff. Make a promise. This year, maybe it means going through the closet and getting rid of some of the old shoes. Or maybe it means going through the bookshelf and donating some of the books you've not read for 20 years. Maybe simplifying life. How can we simplify our material stuff? Maybe it means upping our weekly contribution by $5 or something. What's the material gift going to be that you leave with Jesus this year? The second king brought the frankincense, and that was Casper. Casper brought the smoke, and he's easy to find because he's the one that wears green. Now, in my mind, I remember that because the letter C for Casper looks like the letter G for green. That's how my mind works. Sometimes you don't want to be up here, you guys. But anyway, Casper wears the green and brings the incense. Incense is a symbol of our worship. It's very biblical. It's very traditional. Not only in the Catholic Mass do we often have incense. We try not to let that tradition fall away here at St. Joe. But also other religions have incense too. Incense is a symbol of our prayers, and because it's so biblical and traditional, we use it oftentimes. It's a symbol of our worship. So what's the gift of worship going to be that you're going to give Jesus this year? Maybe it's a daily rosary. Maybe it's a monthly confession. Maybe if you're not in the practice of coming to Mass every Sunday, maybe it's a promise. I promise I will be at Mass every single Sunday or Saturday night this year. It's a promise of worship, a gift of worship. What's our gift going to be? Maybe it's reading the Bible every morning or a spiritual book. What's the gift of worship going to be that we give him? The last one brought the myrrh, and that's Balthazar. He brought the myrrh. Balthazar wears purple, and he's the one in there that wears purple. Balthazar's gift of myrrh is a symbol of our bodies, because the myrrh was used more than anything on the dead bodies before they were laid in the tomb so that they wouldn't stink too much. And it was also a way of reverencing them. You know, as we reverence a body with incense at a funeral, it's the same type of idea. And so it's a symbol of our bodies. And so what's your body gift going to be this year? What are you going to do new with your body for Jesus? Maybe it's giving your mom or dad or son or daughter or whoever a hug every day. Maybe it is losing a little bit of weight to take care of the temple that is your body. Maybe it's using your body to work with Habitat for Humanity. Maybe, you know, the whole idea is that we use our body. We can't just think and wish good things into the world. No, we use our bodies, are the tool that we have to do it. We use our bodies to put love into the world, to fill the world with love and faith. We can't just wish it. And so what's the new thing you're going to do with your body this year? And I tell you what, if everybody in this church makes a promise in each of these three categories, a material gift that you'll give Jesus this year, a worship gift that you'll give him, and a body gift, it would be a different Shelbyville. It would be a different St. Joe. It would be a different family for your family. It would be a different world. And so that's my invitation. That's the invitation I think that we have from our good Lord today, is to look and pray, what are those gifts going to be? The last thing I want to say is the most important gift is just our presence. I have to think about Jesus lying there in the manger, probably more important to him than the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, was the very fact that these three guys, or however many there were, took the time out of their schedule and their busy, powerful lives and came to him. It must have taken them a long time. And it was quite a gift, their presence to him. Sometimes I wonder how sad Jesus must be at all the people who have something better to do than to be there for God. I do think that he weeps about it, and I think he's very hurt by it. And so our gift of presence is a huge, huge important thing, to simply be there for Jesus, especially in the sacraments, but in all of the ways that we see Jesus, that we know Jesus is everywhere. To be there for him is more important than anything. And I want to just end, I guess, with these last two lines of this beautiful song. And maybe you'll recognize this song. The name is slipping my mind. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. In a bleak midwinter. Okay. Angels and archangels have gathered there. Cherubim and seraphim throng the air. But his mother only, in her maiden bliss, worshiped the beloved with a kiss. Here we go. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what I can, I give him. Give him my heart. That's more important than all the gold, frankincense, and myrrh in the world. But we give him our heart, we just happen by happy consequence to also give him our gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because you can't give him your heart without giving him that stuff too. And so we thank the good Lord for this beautiful day. And we thank him and we ask him to give us the gift of wisdom to know what will our material gift be? What will our worship gift be? What will our body gift be? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.